Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Bennett, and each week we present a new story about UFOs or the paranormal. And tonight we have a very, very interesting show. Our guest is Nahu Lanham, and we're going to be talking about his book, God from Inner Space. UFO, God from Inner Space.
Uh-huh.
And now, before I actually introduce my guest, let me just tell you all a little bit of UFO news. What I want to do is share a short story of a close encounter from a gentleman that I spoke to recently, who actually had a very amazing encounter, which is unique, that you don't often hear about. And what happened to him is he was stationed on the USS San Bernardino. This was in the late 1970s, and he was a medical corpsman, one of two on the ship. And one day, his best friend, the guy who he bunked with, revealed that he was a UFO abductee. Now, this gentleman that I spoke with, his name is Kevin, he was kind of skeptical of UFOs, and he told his friend so. And his friend said, no, it's true. And Kevin said, well, if it's true, then I want to go for a ride. I want to see one of these things. And so his friend said, I'll see if I can do that. The next day, his friend came back and said, it's been arranged. You will go for a ride tomorrow. So the next day, Kevin's friend approached him and said, come up on deck. The UFOs are there. And Kevin walked up on deck, and sure enough, there was a very large object in the sky. He said it was the most beautiful thing he's ever seen. This was during the day. He said it was at least 3 times the length of the ship, and the ship was 500-some feet long. He said it was diamond-shaped and giving off all sorts of different colors of light. And the next thing he knew, he found himself inside of it. And he went on a very long, drawn-out story where he was actually taken on a voyage, apparently, around the planet and up into deep space. He asked the aliens where they were from, and they showed him a star map of their home star, which he said was very, very far away from our solar system. He described these beings as being 12 foot tall, white-skinned, praying mantis-type beings, with very, very large, dark eyes, but otherwise completely white. And they spoke telepathically to him. And this experience was in full consciousness, and it lasted for about a half an hour. And they actually answered each question he posed to them. And they explained to him that there was going to be a series of natural disasters on Earth, basically originating from the original explosions of the atom bomb. And they showed him all of this, and they showed him pictures of natural disasters that would occur, and other things. It's a very, very complicated case. But what I find so interesting about it is this gentleman asked to have a UFO experience, and he had one, and it was quite a major one. So that's why I'm really excited about tonight's show, because our guest, Nahu Lanham, has also had a very profound UFO experience. And his book, UFOs, God from Inner Space, actually is an original and first-person exploration of this culture and physical phenomena that has up until now perplexed scientists, theologians, psychologists, and been shrouded in mystery and folklore. Now, while the extraterrestrial theory is the most popular one to explain UFOs, there are many other explanations, including time travelers, inner Earth beings, interdimensional beings, and so on. And another explanation is that UFOs are angels or are representations of the divine. And according to our guest tonight, this is in fact what UFOs are. Now, in his book, Lanham describes his own UFO encounter during which he was levitated into a vehicle of pure light. This experience transformed his life and helped him to develop his own spiritual abilities. More than just a personal account, however, UFOs, God from Inner Space, analyzes the entire UFO phenomenon from various spiritual perspectives, including quantum physics, chaos theory, psychology, parapsychology, Eastern philosophy, sacred geometry, and religious history. Now, instead of a nuts and bolts interpretation, Lanham's book examines the UFO phenomenon from a consciousness and spiritual perspective. So looking at, of course, the connection between UFOs and the near-death experiences and out-of-body experiences and so on, and attempting actually to present what is in effect a grand unified field theory of UFOs, uniting both its objective and subjective aspects. So this is very exciting. I'm really, really excited. Nahu, thank you for coming onto the show.
It's a pleasure. I appreciate you all inviting me.
So, did you were you skeptical of UFOs growing up, or what did you think of this whole subject?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was. I was very skeptical. I grew up in the 60s, when this was totally novel and new to humans. There was very few cases that I knew of. Of course, there was Kenneth Arnold and Mendel, and of course, the cases in Pascagoula, but they were very few at the time, and so it was totally new to me, and so I did. I grew up in a kind of an era of skepticism.
Right. Well, now, if you could possibly speak up in the phone, because we've been having some volume problems.
Sorry. Okay.
So if you could just place the receiver as close as... So you didn't believe in them at all when you first... You never saw anything growing up, before your first experience, I mean?
Well, I shouldn't say that I didn't totally disbelieve in them. I had an open mind. There was a certain curiosity in me as a young man, but I didn't have any particular unique experiences. I had some interesting sort of parapsychological experiences, you know, of seeing unusual sights, or feeling or sensing a spirit or energy. One time I saw a ghost when I was a small child, things like that, but I never had encountered a UFO.
Right. So, how old were you when this UFO encounter happened, and how did it start?
At the time that I experienced this, I was around 18 years old.
Oh, pretty young.
Yeah, I was real young at the time, and when my encounter took place, it took place as kind of similar to people who've had out-of-body experiences or NDEs, in which some may find themselves levitated, picked up, and sort of pulled or sucked into a vortex of pure light. I awoke from an altered state. I had just reclined on the sofa and relaxed. It was night, it was late, I was alone, and when suddenly I woke to a tremendous light that was swirling in my living room, as a matter of fact, and which was really strange. I know that seems like a strange place to encounter a UFO-type experience, but after having read some of the experiences people have had, I began to realize that they don't necessarily have to appear outdoors and in the open air. This is in my own living room, so I woke to an incredible sight, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't move, like in a hypnagogic type state. Once I quit resisting the force or the field that I felt around me, then I was sort of lifted up or levitated into the center of pure light.
Wow. So, what did the light look like?
It was just like an incredible luminescence, much more brilliant than normal light. And as a matter of fact, one of the things about it that really struck me, even at the time that I experienced it, is that I didn't feel any glare or irritation with my sight. I felt, even though that it penetrated or permeated me and everything else around me, so it seemed to be almost hyper-dimensional.
Right, wow. So what happened? I mean, what happened once you were like inside this light?
Well, it pulled me into the light after I quit resisting. And at first I was just panicked and I was just fighting it. And it was very frightening to me. And for some reason I felt an inner urge or need to relax. And when I did, I sort of floated upwards. I felt myself actually floating upwards. It wasn't necessarily feeling of being outside my body, although my consciousness seemed a little dissociated, very strange. It was only that my whole body was picked up and pulled into this swirling circle of light. As I entered into the light, my whole body was vibrating just extremely rapidly, very powerful oscillations of energy in me, and I was just shaking. And as I went inside the light, I started to calm down a little bit. It started to relax. And as I calmed down, I seemed to really come down, as a matter of fact, inside of what might have been something like a kind of a crystalline-like interior. And in that, everything was kind of vibrating still, but as it did slow down, I began to realize that I could see and actually feel things around me, and I felt myself come down to what seemed to be some kind of a crystalline-like chair or apparatus of some sort, similar to a chair, and looking across a kind of almost glazed table-like object, I saw two beings.
Yeah, so at this point, you're convinced you're physically inside this thing.
I felt like I was inside some kind of an object, in some kind of a internal structure of some sort, except that everything was still very lit, very luminescent, kind of like almost opaque. I felt like I was inside some kind of a crystal almost, you know. It's very strange. It's like being inside of a crystalline structure.
No, it sounds beautiful.
As a matter of fact, I've read some cases later on where people have talked about things like that, but I had never heard of anything similar, even similar to this. The cases that I had read about were, for the most part, the nuts and bolts type objects. What I saw around me was almost surreal and dreamlike. And the beings that sat about across from me and looked at me and gave me a kind of an inner feeling of peace and tranquility. I didn't feel tremendous fear or anything. As a matter of fact, I felt like I was looking at a benevolent being, like a minister or a teacher of some sort, you know. So I began to relax, and there's something about their eyes and their nature that told me they meant me no harm. So I started to relax, and the most outstanding thing I can recall about their features is that they look more to me like Mayan Indians. These were dark-complected creatures with dark, swarthy hair. They were small, like the Mayan Indians.
Wow.
So
they look like, almost normally humans?
They look like, pretty much like, kind of smaller-shaped, almost Apache-like Native Americans.
Isn't that interesting? And they had hair, you said?
Pardon?
You said they had hair?
They had very dark hair. They had hair, normal hair. They there was another strange thing about them. I noticed that they had sort of a silver kind of uniform that was tight-fitting. And one of the arms of one of the beings that I saw was some kind of a lettering of some sort, almost like a tattoo. And as I looked at them, I remember thinking about it. As a matter of fact, one real strange thing came to me later on is that it reminded me of the same kind of hieroglyphics that they saw on that some of that metallic structure that was found at Roswell.
Oh, right, right.
And I think that's an odd coincidence. It came to me much later because I wondered about it for years. I almost neglected it. As a matter of fact, I did leave it out of the book. But as I began to think about it later on, I began to realize that the two were somehow, there's some kind of significance there, and they seemed allied in some way, and I thought maybe there might have been some subliminal message associated with that. But the beings that are, they didn't communicate with words, they communicated totally telepathically to me.
Right, right. So was there anything else aboard this structure? I mean, was it just this, you said a table and chairs and...
That's all I saw internally, all I saw, and around me, of course, that real shiny, kind of almost transparent kind of structure, like an internal crystal of some sort. I don't remember anything else about it. The main thing that I remember is the information. They seem to transmit such powerful vibrations on a psychic level to me that everything took place in my psyche with them. I saw lettering information in my mind's eye. They had tremendously powerful telepathic abilities. They were able to transmit information to me about the inner structure of the cosmos, and they were able to show me things visually that, of course, at the time, I didn't even understand what they were saying. I had no idea what... Part of it was very esoteric, very unusual, strange information. Like, for instance, they showed me a picture of what appeared to be, in my mind's eye, to be a gigantic crystal. I don't know whether at the time whether they were telling me that they came from a place that was like a crystal, crystalline physical space itself, or whether they were telling me that the nature of the cosmos was like a crystal. But one of the main things I got from it is, and this is in association with my own inner thought, which suddenly came to me during the experience. I was thinking, I wonder how this thing is powered. If this is a flying saucer or a UFO, and these are beings or aliens from some other world, I wonder how they, you know, they propel this thing, how what kind of power source it has. And when they felt this vibration from me, they immediately sent me back an incredibly strong impression that said, by the power of pure thought.
Oh, wow.
So this is a thought craft, and what I saw around me was the product of thought itself, or pure mind.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Of course, so they just built their ship. You know, it's interesting because I was talking to a person who also had an experience, and he was taken on board a craft, and he asked them, how big is the ship? And they told him, well, it's as big as we want it to be.
Ah,
so they just basically controlled it by thought as well.
That's exactly what I experienced. They gave me that real strong impression that you're able to alter physical matter with the power of mind. Of course, this is known today, and there's been a lot of research on this subject matter, telekinesis, psychokinesis, and a lot of paranormal research by people like Tart and Targ.
Right.
A number of researchers have gone into it. Of course, we know about the observation principle and quantum physics. These are things that tell us that we have the ability to control matter from the quantum level, and that mind and matter are unified at this level. Of course, at this time, I had no idea what that meant, because at that time, what I was receiving was an impression of mind itself, maybe it was sort of illustrated in a kind of picture form. So I was looking at what was a crystal in space that's sort of crystallized and cracked open, and as it broke open and I could see the internal structure of it, I could see into it, and I began to understand that what I was seeing in some ways was the inner structure of matter itself, and how it was structured, how it was made, you know, and that mind had some ability at these deep microcosmic levels to shape and form matter through a process. And as I saw that, I saw it as a swirling, spiral-like template or pattern behind matter. And as I saw that, I saw that mind has the ability to focus this principle. And this is what I was shown at the time. Of course, it was extremely vague at the time. I felt something. I was in the presence of people or beings that had incredibly strong powers. So I became a little apprehensive all of a sudden. I felt myself a little wary of them, you know, and because I begin to think if they have that ability, then they probably have the ability to destroy me at this moment with their mind alone, you know.
Were you sitting down? I mean, were you right next to them?
I was sitting probably within 5 feet of them across this real flat table-like structure.
Were they all looking at you?
The two of them, there was two beings, and they were looking directly at me, and their eyes were never moved away from my eyes. They looked directly into my eyes. It was like we were locked visually.
Did they seem friendly, and were they smiling? Or?
They were all. They didn't actually smile at all. They not with their face, but more with their eyes. They give a kind of a knowing kind of vibration. You know how when you look at someone's eyes, you get a feeling whether they have negative or positive intent.
Sure. Yeah.
That's what I felt from them. I felt a good intent, and that they also projected in my mind's eye within myself. I got a kind of a feeling that we don't intend to harm people. We don't intend to harm you. We're showing you something. We're almost in the same way that a professor or a teacher might be instructing a student.
Right. So when they showed you all this stuff, it wasn't like they were showing you on a screen. It was all within your mind's eye.
It was all within my psyche. I suddenly found what I guess Tesla referred to as kind of a that chalkboard within your mind's eye, you know, that white space that upon it you can see and that you can visualize. Everything was kind of portrayed on this inner board, which was illuminated in my inner psyche.
Wow. That's very, very interesting.
As they were projecting all this information to me, they asked me, do you understand? Do you understand what we're transmitting to you, so to speak? Although they never spoke it, it was just the impression. And I said, no, I don't understand. At the time, I just can't quite understand what this means. You know, I have an idea of what you're saying, but kind of you have a feeling of when you follow somebody and you have an impression of what they're saying to you, but you're not quite sure it's over your head.
Right. Well, so how long did this go on? I mean, did they talk to you this way?
It's hard to say because it was totally on a kind of an interdimensional level, so to speak. You know how you're in an altered state, like when you're in a dream state, for example, or when you sleep, you wake up and it could be minutes, but it could have been 10 hours that you slept. I felt like I was in an altered state, and when I sort of checked the time itself later on, it hadn't been probably much more than 15 minutes. So I know that I was in an altered state for at least that amount of time, but when I came out of this, I came out of it like I don't know if you've ever had an out-of-body experience. Have you ever had an out-of-body experience?
Yeah, actually I have.
Well, have you ever had that feeling of vibrating? And
I have, yeah.
Like you feel real stimulated, your whole system. Well, I've had an experience where, and this one was like that same one, where I came to myself with a tremendous impact. My head hit the back of the cushion really hard. It's like my head must have been upwards for some reason, and I felt like my body was almost like in a paralyzed state. And it was just a real jolting impact when I came out of that.
Wow. So how did it end? I mean, what was the last thing they said to you?
One of the things, the last things that they told me was, that do you understand? And then I said, no, I don't understand. And, and when I said that, I had the impression that they were going to show me something new. And it was like a total transformation of energy. It was, like, for instance, I suddenly found myself in what appeared to be like a black limousine. Now, this is the most bizarre aspect. It's totally, as I said, very surreal. But I found myself in like a black limousine. And I looked, and here were these two beings in the front seat, and they were both looking at me. And one of them had, both of them had on black bowler hats and black suits. And they turned around and looked at me simultaneously while moving forward into what was kind of the early dawn hours. And everything was sort of gray outside, but they turned around and looked at me, and they said, now do you understand? not verbally again, it was a telepathic kind of message, an impression. And I said, what I understand is I went out of this car. I said, that's it. This is too much. I went out of the car. So the car stopped, and the door sort of swished open, and I just jumped out and took off running as fast as I could down the road.
Wow. What happened then?
Well, I ran up along a gravel road until I came to an old house on the side of the road. And the house had, I don't know what I was looking for, but I needed some confirmation within myself that this wasn't some kind of bizarre dream. You know, I thought I was going crazy a little bit. I was wondering about my own sanity. I didn't think anybody would be. And I thought, this is just too much. I've got to find some evidence. And this old house that I saw for some reason attracted me. And it was kind of an old derelict of a house. It was up on the side of the hill. And it was empty, by the way. And the door was open. I ran inside, and I looked around for something. And I found it on the side of the wall, leaning against the wall, was a large mirror. The house had been wrecked pretty much by vandals, and it was just an old house that somebody had abandoned long before, I guess, and somebody had left a mirror there. And I remember I said, if I have a reflection, I started wiping the dust off this mirror and looked into the mirror. I said, if I have a reflection, I know that this is very physically real. If I don't, then I know that this has to be some other kind of state of consciousness, some altered, bizarre, unusual kind of state. And as I looked in, I realized that I did not have a reflection. Huh. That's when I came to myself on the sofa. But it was not like coming awake from just a mere dream. As you know, if you have a relatively vivid dream, or even a lucid dream, it's much more impressive than that. It was like having been picked up and taken somewhere and then brought back.
Right. Wow.
I just wondered at the time how much of it came from me and was it implanted?
Huh. I mean, there was no warning of it at all that something like this would happen?
Nothing. It was totally spontaneous. I couldn't relate it to anything at all. I've always been a student of human nature and psychology and was interested in it, of course. And I couldn't find anything in what I'd been reading that might have instigated that kind of a spontaneous kind of a psychic association of some kind. Or there wasn't anything else in my own meditation that I could link to it. Although I was doing some meditation, not much at the time, but I was practicing some meditation, yoga meditation, but certainly it wasn't anything unusual or different about it. It was just like breathing meditation.
Right. So how did this change your spiritual life?
Well, it was very profound, Preston. I found myself slowly, I wanted to know what happened, and I began to look very carefully into all kinds of tracks and archives of various sources, and I guess I haunted every library around, and I had the good fortune of going to work later on in a bookstore that focused on metaphysical UFO books and spiritual books. Psychology, everything in the metaphysical field. So that was very extremely helpful in helping me understand something about the nature of it, because I began to, in my search, begin to realize that I was learning something about the nature of mind and matter, about my inner spiritual life, and the fact that we can contact beings from other dimensions and not necessarily have to be schizoid or demented in any way, that this is a normal state, that people can be contacted by teachers from other dimensions.
Right. I think it's actually a lot more common, and it's happening to a lot of people. They're just not aware of it.
Well, I'm sure you probably read Kenneth Ring's books.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what I think very interesting about your experience is it has elements of both UFOs and near-death experiences. I mean, actually, like, out-of-body experiences, I guess, would be closer to a better explanation.
Well, as a matter of fact, this evening, Preston, I got a letter from a gentleman named Crazy Horse. I don't know if you know, ever heard of this gentleman, but he was just telling me that he's had two near-death experiences in which he had encounters very similar to it, and also saw the spiral energy from within, too. I found and was able to trace the spiral source to numerous cultures, including Asiatic cultures, Native Americans, Mesoamerican, Australian, just a numerous number of sources. It's been connected with mound and pyramidal cultures. And also, I've been able to trace the spiral source in nature in the Fibonacci series and fractals. As a matter of fact, now, scientists are saying that fractals could be the new science totally and will replace, in a new scientist recent issue, they said it's replacing the concept of the Big Bang Theory.
Right, right. It's very interesting. All this stuff is beginning to come together, the science and metaphysics and stuff like that. So your book, UFOs, God from Inner Space, where can people get it? On Amazon.com?
They can get it at Amazon.com. I've got it in hardback there, and I've also got it in softback for $20. But it also can be found at the UFO magazine with Nancy Byrne and Vicki Ecker and Don Ecker.
Right, UFO magazine by Don and Vicki Ecker. That's the
right.
Major UFO magazine that's out there.
It's with the Filament Book Club. It's an e-book form, and on the iPod there, they have a little Palm Pilot that you can use to read it on for like $10. So
okay.
It's relatively inexpensive.
Do you have a website you want to refer anyone to?
My website's kind of hard to remember. Most people won't. I'm not trying to implant subliminal there, but the fact is, it's UFOs, God from Inner Space, of course, but it's withoutskirts.com, UFOs, God from Inner Space. The problem with it is that UFOs is in large caps, and God, the first letter, is in large caps. The rest is small caps, so it's kind of hard to remember for most people.
Right. Well, that'll give people at least a chance. So UFOs and G?
God, yes, the G itself is in large caps.
And the rest is in small.
Small caps.
Okay. Well, that gives people at least a chance.
I hope that if they don't, all you have to do is just type in UFOs God from Inner Space in your web browser, and I'm sure you'll see all my blogs. I tend to do a lot of blogging over at Noetic Institute.
Right. Okay, and your name is Nahu?
Nahu, Nahu.
L-A-N-H-A-M.
L-A-N-H-A-M, Lanham.
Okay. Well, so your book is getting some good reviews, actually. So it sounds like it's doing well.
Oh, I've had some wonderful reviews. I feel really happy about it. Pleased that, especially even in the academic world, people are starting to embrace it.
Right. Well, it's nice to see someone bringing together all this stuff. So, now, you mentioned that this experience, I mean, would you say that it triggered your psychic abilities in any way?
Oh, it strongly triggered psychic abilities. I began to have lots of synchronistic experiences first. I think a lot of people will relate to that because one of the first things, of course, Jung discovered that principle. Him and Pauli did a lot of research on it, but I began to have those kind of synchronistic events where some of them are very much like deja vus.
Right, right.
Which, things were in your mind you could see linked up to other events in the physical plane. And so I saw a holistic pattern emerging in the relationships of objects in outside and inside time and space, and began to realize a kind of a holistic principle. And in that, I began to realize that I could sense and see things from the future and also from the past. A lot of things were both in both dimensions, but also I picked up all things in a kind of a multidimensional sense and outside the this particular three-dimensional, I should say fourth-dimensional space-time continuum here. So I had numerous experiences of being able to see into things. I had lots of dreams of the future, and I began to write these dreams down just to see how they fit together. That's one of the primary things a lot of people need to look for, and I believe that UFOs stimulate these kind of experiences.
No, I totally agree. I mean, that's pretty much the major reaction I think that the people I've talked to, at least, have had. And so many of the people who have had these onboard UFO experiences come away as either psychic healers or clairvoyants or really interested in spirituality, and they have out-of-body experiences, just like what you're saying, dreams that come true.
And well, that's definitely true of some major classical cases, too, in which the individuals have undergone a tremendous psychic transformations, you know, like Orfeo Angelucci and Siragusa or Adamski. These were all unusual individuals who went through major changes in their life, from just everyday people, you know, to people with gifts and sensitivity and with information that was very informative and helpful and insightful, too, in terms of the things we need to do to change our lives and make the world a better place to live in.
Right. Well,
especially like that first story you talked about, that's very typical.
Right. Well, I think it's very interesting because you hear so much about people being abducted into UFOs and physically examined, when really what's just as common, if not more common, is people being taken on board, I guess, if that's the way you want to put it, and being spiritually transformed is what it comes down to. Now, would you say the main message that the beings had for you is that we create our own reality?
Well, that's definitely true right there, a truism, and represents very clearly what I learned, that you create your own reality and that you're in charge of it, and that means you can alter it at any particular time. It's almost like, in some ways, having an encounter with a UFO is very akin to having almost like a Holy Ghost experience, and you know, because you're encountering an energy that is spiritually transformative, and once you've had it, you can't look at life the same way. You suddenly begin to realize that your perception of reality has changed.
Right.
One of the major aspects of it at the center of my inner self was the realization that I'm in charge of it and that I can affect it and control it.
Wow. So do you think that UFOs come from other planets and travel across through deep space? Or?
You know, I believe that they can. I'm sure that there's been in numerous cases in which they did, and it's very possible that they come from the outside space and time, too. From the future or from other areas. At the same time, I also look at it from a kind of a holistic standpoint. I've been immersed for years in the kind of perspective that sees the reality as like Maya itself, and that in that sense, it is like a dream itself. Because of a dreamlike nature, it's very plastic and very malleable. So individually, I think we get out of it what we need to. So the UFOs each person encounters, I think, is reflective at some deep intrinsic level of something that the individual needs to learn and needs to understand about themselves.
Well, it's interesting because UFOs do affect people profoundly. I think most of the people I've interviewed have said that their experience is, I guess, a peak experience and one of the most profound experiences of their lives. And it seems to really just alter people's perception in a lot of ways of the way they view themselves and the entire universe.
You know, they oftentimes show up at major events, too, and in major transformative times that are intrinsically tied up with some kind of a spiritual message. For example, one outstanding case that hit me really strongly was the one at Las Lomas, you know, in which 1991, and also in Mexico City. this is when the Aztec calendar was coming to an end, and there was people were going through a major social event. They were all looking skyward at the time. As a matter of fact, even at the time Popocatépetl was erupting. Do you remember this one?
I do, actually.
And all the number of people had cameras pointing toward the heavens. There was an eclipse going on. And I think that's not by chance. And then they saw these spinning crafts, lighted, circular, crafts materializing in the air. And they were all looking skyward. Numerous people, I don't think as many as five or six different films taken of it simultaneously from totally different points throughout the city, Mexico City.
Yeah, I think it was actually like 20 or 40 or more.
Oh, it could have been a lot more. Yeah, I remember some of the major ones. They struck me as very interesting, and the individuals had some really good shots. And in that one, there's a UFO film that was out on that at the time. On UFOs, I can't think of the name of the video just offhand, but the video was really good. It was by the guy that who was the was he the doctor? No, he was the was one of the characters from Star Trek that was the MC or host on the film. Anyway,
I don't know.
Talking about UFOs and showing how that there's enormous amount of evidence that they were real. I think it was basically focused on the whole idea that UFOs are real.
Right.
And
I think the evidence is out there. So do you think that these UFO signal major changes taking place in our world? And I mean, what do you think is the future for this whole subject?
Yeah, I think they definitely are. And as a matter of fact, I think people are beginning to recognize that and realize that they show up at major events and they signal major transformations that are undergoing at the particular time. And that that's one of the reasons why they're there. They're there because, in a sense, God puts symbols there for us, almost like guideposts, you know, in a sense, like a like a lighthouse that is a warning to a ship at sea that there's something ahead. And I think that they show up there because they make people look heavenward and they make people think about their mortality and what they're doing. And that's why they're associated with lots of warnings and messages, because God is talking to us through these signs and symbols in the heaven.
Right.
Even the case of Lourdes had UFOs involved in it.
Well, you know what's really interesting is some of, I think like the Fatima incident. Have you heard of that?
Yes, definitely.
In 1918, and that seems to have elements of both a UFO event and a religious event. What do you think about that? Is that a religious miracle or is that a UFO? Or it's the same thing as what you're saying, huh?
Right, it's synonymous. The two of them are outlined. As a matter of fact, they saw a sun disk. They saw a disk in the sky. They saw a circular light that hovered and that showed up at a particular time. And it came, and all the energy associated with that particular sign and symbol in the heaven was all transformative and related to religious or spiritual symbols that the people could relate to. And the children themselves were met by messengers, Elohim, inner messengers from the inner cosmos, teachers who appeared in shapes and forms that they could relate to. I think maybe, like, for instance, the beings that I related to has something to do with my own psychogenetic heritage. I'm part Native American and Celtic, so I think that they're both associated strongly with the spiral force and with medicine wheel and the Thunderbird. There's a number of symbols, and also I was extremely interested for years in the pyramidal cultures, and what significance they have in our learning, our education, their cosmogony, their cosmological ideas, the space and time. The Mayan Indians themselves, I studied Peter Tompkins' works. I found a lot of significance in his rendition and interpretation of the mystical elements there.
Mm-hmm. Well, now let me ask you this, because I had this guest on last week, and he believes that UFOs are demonic, which I don't, and it was actually kind of upsetting. But how would you address that issue? Because some people seriously believe that.
Well, you know, Preston, I've pondered on it and thought about it. As a matter of fact, I saw a UFO not very long ago. I live in Eugene, Oregon, and I was running down a trail, and I saw a very strange UFO one day, and I reported it to MUFON, by the way, and it was black, as a matter of fact, which was almost totally 180 degrees where I'm at. Because I tend to look at the UFO as a term, as a spiritual symbol in a sense of a transformational light itself, as a beautiful thing. And I wondered about it, and I thought, well, what could the significance could this have? Because I then began to realize, and it's all part of my book too, because in it I talk about Men in Black a little bit and negative elements that are associated with aliens and the so-called underworld. And then, of course, we have the constant battle between good and evil going on in the Garden of Eden episode, for example. And I think that God is a really big God. I think God embraces both elements within its holistic union of the opposites and kind of the yin and yang. And I think each of us are encountering either the positive or negative elements. Again, I'm going back to the same inner feeling and idea that came to me and was instructed to me, that we see according to what we expect to see, and in part that individual is encountering those things because those are aspects or projections of his own psychodrama within himself.
Right. So in effect, I see what you're saying, and some people who have negative abductions are, in a way, fear-based and are creating their own reality and drawing that to them.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. We get out of our experiences what we need to learn.
Right. So, and UFOs are a vehicle of transformation. No. But do they exist independently of us then?
The spiral principle or template that I talk about all the time, I'm writing also a secondary book. I'm nearly done with it now, that deals with the nature of the spiral template and the spiritual manifestation of inner and outer reality of micro-macrocosmic view. And basically what I have discovered is that this principle is not separate from us, and yet at the same time it does operate almost outside of us in a sense, because, I mean, you know, God is, and we are one with God, yet at the same time there is a certain amount of separation between us and that principle in a sense. We are a manifestation of the principle, but it depends on how we relate to it and how we begin to understand ourselves as to whether we become more unified in that sense with it, you know. So it takes an integration of our self in a kind of a holistic way for us to be reunited with the principle. So in some ways, and I'm speaking here in a spiritual dichotomization sense, if we separate ourselves according to our degree of awareness of the principle in our lives, you know?
Right, so it's because of the level of spiritual development where we're at that we're manifesting separateness and feelings of victim and perpetrator and these scenarios that we're playing out, this UFO production.
You know that we have in our inner essence, our cellular makeup, in the mitochondria, that we have the DNA. We have this feedback loop between the double helix, and it is the spiral principle kind of interface within our inner self between the micro-macrocosmos, and yet it we are affected by the information that we receive from our environment and from our lives, and in an evolutionary sense, it's constantly a feedback between the information we have historically learned as a race, and yet as an individual, this interface constantly goes on. But we can affect it, and I think that, let's say in a sense that when the spiral force shows itself in the light, in a UFO experience, for example, or NDE, the individual is perforce meeting this force directly, almost like psychically face or spiritually face to face, and the impact is very transformative and ignites a change within their holistic being that causes a natural step upward in their evolutionary development and makes them become much more aware, that is, to their union with all that is.
Right, I see. So this is probably what's happening to a lot of people as a result of these encounters.
No, it's kind of like a holistic spiritual cycle pump, kind of a pump or an internal function that takes place as part of the evolutionary cycle itself. We're just learning about it.
Right, right. Well, you know what I find interesting is, I mean, people look at UFOs as angels or demons, and I wonder if they're just not biological beings like us who developed on another planet and are at their own level of spiritual evolution. And you know what I mean? I mean, is it possible that people just are interpreting these things in different ways and we don't even really know what they are?
I think each person interprets them according to what they need to learn, and they manifest for them in the unique form and shape that is most relevant to them. But at the same time, I believe that it's like Bigfoot, for example. One of my theories on Bigfoot is that Bigfoot is a materialization from an alternate universe. When universes collide or windows or portals are open, we move back and forth between dimensions. And part of this is a materialization process that's instigated by some psychotronic energy within our own inner selves, you know? Kind of in the same sense that Carl Bearden talked about. If you've read Excalibur Briefings, he wrote very learnedly about the materialization process. And you can trace some of this information in, like, the Kahuna's use of the mana boxes, or the Reichenbach research, or some of the other people who did research on the ability of the psyche, of the mind, to create physical reality.
Right. So apparently this physical reality is much more responsive to us than we realize.
Yes. Well, you know, we screen out most of it. Our sensory apparatus is designed to only let a certain amount of information in and out. And most of it is overlooked, and we're out of touch with. Matter of fact, many researchers in quantum physics say it's like a soup. And they wonder, I've read comments that they wondered that when they had their back turned that it was just nothing but chaos, and that the only time it manifested as a physical thing is when they turned around and looked at it.
Right.
Of course, Einstein would have questioned that.
Right, the Heisenberg principle and all that with quantum physics, it's all very perplexing.
You know, Einstein said he didn't believe that God played dice. But if you examine Einstein's theories of relativity, basically, he unified space-time. And in unifying space-time with his theory of relativity, I think he very realistically applied the principle wholeness there, and which suggests to me that without necessarily embracing quantum physics, which he was somewhat in opposition to, and the essence of those theories, he was in fact saying that at some deep intrinsic level, we're involved with the whole process. Or the whole concept of relativity wouldn't be applicable.
Right, right. So following this one experience, did you have others like it? And
I've had a numerous kind of altered states in which I encountered UFOs. One I encountered in an altered state where, and this is really fascinating, I don't know how much time we've got left, but there was, I was walking down the street. I suddenly realized I was walking down the street, and as I was walking down the street, I passed a house with a dog, and I heard a loud cracking noise. To me, this signified some break in space-time. This is the way I think. I'm very much involved in the symbols and sounds and changes going on around me as a professional psychic. So I became alerted that something was happening to space-time continuum. And as I did, I looked up, and in the sky above me, I saw a UFO. And as I looked at it, it was a turquoise blue UFO, and it actually tilted sideways and started down toward me. And in the windows, there was three windows or portals in the cupola, and I could see three faces looking at me.
Wow.
And I ran out in the street and said, okay, here I am. Take me up. I'm ready. And as soon as I did that, it was exactly like a sparrow in the ARE Society often talks about encounters with the light. They immediately went back up into the cloud layer and disappeared.
Oh, too bad.
And I thought, bummer. You know? I said, here I am ready and receptive, and for some strange reason, they don't want to take me. And something clicked inside my mind. It's because we strive too hard. I think people will have UFO experiences much more readily if they quit trying so hard. And they should just be open and receptive and just trust that it will happen, that more and more people will have UFO experiences. Millions of people have had UFO experiences, and millions more will have them in the future. And just accept that and realize that it's God's way of making contact with us. And God has been with us throughout history, making these same contacts, and will continue. And so inside myself, I said, I know I can make this encounter with the light. And I said, but I know what I need to do. I went back around the street. And this time when I came up, I heard the same noise. And this time, I didn't even look. I said, I will not strive. This is the kind of an altered state that some people might associate with or be familiar with in Taoist meditation or Zen meditation. Buddhists also refer to it as wu-wei.
Non-striving. What do they call it?
Woo-wee.
Woo-wee?
Woo-wee. Kind of like a judo kind of state, okay, in which you just go with the energy and you don't try to control the energy.
Right.
You know,
right.
You just sort of flow with it in kind of a Taoistic way. You can either go with the flow or flow with the go. That's what I often do. And I decided to go with the flow instead of trying to make it go my way. So I just kept on moving like I wasn't even striving. And as I did, I could feel myself being lifted and embraced by the light.
Wow.
And I saw a tremendous transformation. And I've had these a number of times of feeling embraced by the light, pulled into it. I had one altered state where I actually found myself in outer space. And it was very strange, but I actually saw myself on like Pegasus.
Wow.
I thought I was on a golden disc, and then as I looked at the golden disc, it became Pegasus, and then as I realized I was flying through space, I saw three UFOs coming toward me in the darkness. It's kind of a purple skyline, almost like, you know, purple night. And as I looked, I could see a whirling circle in the center, and I knew I was headed right to the center of this ball force. And so I just dove through the center of it and woke up.
Wow. These are beautiful experiences.
Yeah. They were so awesome and inspiring spiritually to me.
Well, Nehu, we're at the end of our hour.
It's been great.
So, I mean, is there any last messages you want to give to our audience out there. Your book, UFOs, God from Inner Space, is available on Amazon.com or through UFO Magazine, published by Don and Vicki Ecker and Nancy and William Burns. What else? Is there anything else people need to know?
That's a book club with the UFO Magazine. Well, I think one of the most strongest thoughts that I have, or clearest thoughts that I want to associate with, is the one that basically the spiral template or force is a creative force, and it represents God in its purest essence, and I'm saying it's here, kind of a neutral sense, he, she, whatever you want to call it, and because I don't want to differentiate it as a male or female sense, but it's both. So it is a creative force, and it is found throughout the whole in this park and throughout nature, and that it's there for you if you will open your heart up and your inner self up and let this inner force or spirit lead you. And don't be too critical of some of the unusual experiences that you have. Instead, write them down and think about them and explore your dreams, especially because in out-of-body experiences and lucid dreams, we have much to learn from our inner teachers.
Right. No, I agree. Well, it's been a fantastic hour. I want to thank you again for coming onto the show. Your book sounds amazing, and I hope a lot of people go straight out and buy it.
Many blessings to you. I really appreciate this opportunity to share this information with you and with your guests.
Well, thank you. Well, that's our show tonight. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Bennett. Our guest tonight has been Nahu Lanham, author of UFOs, God from Inner Space. Sounds like an amazing book. And our next week, our guest is Marie Jones. She's written a book called Science, that's P-S-I-E-N-C-E, which is UFOs, Paranormal, and Quantum Physics. So again, that's more of this very interesting subject. I hope you all can join us, and thank you all, and have a wonderful evening.